Dear friends, in this weekly study of Bhagavad Gita, we have been, in fact from last Friday, we started the study of 10th chapter, which in a way is amplifying the message given in the 9th chapter. In the 9th chapter, we saw that how Lord tells that by holding on to Lord, you get everything. By not holding on to Lord, not that you will get something, you will get nothing. You will get only frustration and suffering. And therefore it is important to hold on to Lord. Because Lord alone is, and everything else that we see around is its manifestations, its shadows. If you want to hold, you can hold something that is real. You can never hold the shadow. If you hold the reality, you will see the shadow also gets held automatically. But reverse, try to hold the shadow and it will be a frustrating experience. You cannot hold on to shadow. In the attempt to hold on to shadow, you miss both. Shadow cannot be held, and you are not anyway going to hold reality. So you miss both. But if you hold on to reality, not only that the reality is held, but the shadows get held automatically. So this is important to feel that everything around, everything that we see as I and mine is contained in the Lord. So if you hold on to Lord, you get everything. As that famous Hindi poet and saint Rahim mentions, that if you hold on to one, the many gets held too. If you take care of the one, many gets taken care. As if you water the roots, the leaves and branches, they automatically get watered. So hold on to that one. Ik sadhe sab sadhe, sab sadhe sab jaye. Rahiman mooli sinchhi phule phale aghaye. That it is, if you water the roots, then that watering root is good enough to give water to the fruits and the leaves and the branches and everything. So similarly, if you think about God, then it is you think of everything too in the right manner. In their proper place. If you do not do that and try to the so-called spirituality that people think of as a cut and dried piece of life, that does not really make our life spiritual. Spiritual life consists in converting what is mistakenly thought as the worldly part of life into a spiritual awareness. It has to permeate with that spiritual awareness. Then only it is a spiritual living. It doesn't mean that then you stop all your activities. You do all your activities in a way as before. Externally speaking, as before. It doesn't mean that somebody working as a banker has to give it up, the working in the bank. Not that somebody who is a teacher has to give up that job. A farmer doesn't need to shift from farming to the job of a priest. It doesn't mean any of that. But all these different external vocations, external actions need to get permeated with that spirit of God. God alone is manifest in all these different ways. So, in the 10th chapter, Lord is telling this idea again. So, therefore, he began that chapter saying that I am telling this again to you because bhuya eva mahabaho shrunume paramam vachah. The first verse, that is in the 10th chapter, apparently Arjuna is not asking anything. But this message of all is contained in Lord appears to be so difficult to feel. We see, well, Lord, I understand God is in the temple or God in some place of pilgrimage, God in my shrine, that I understand. And then I worship God, I seek the blessings of God, I pray to God to keep my life smooth and peaceful and also prosperous and all that. I pray to God for that, but I don't get this. I don't disbelieve you, but this is something, God is, you are God, that's fine. But what, how, my house, I can't see that it is contained in you. My job that I do, I don't see it is contained in you. I don't see all my friends and all my wealth or all the people, this whole world is contained in you. I do not see this. And Lord understands this, that although it is true that everything is contained in God, just like the waves are contained in ocean, the analogy we feel, yes, right, the waves are contained in ocean, but we are not able to feel all these rising and falling names and forms, just like the waves in the ocean. And so to emphasize, in different words, when the things are emphasized, then slowly it we start getting the idea. So Lord says, I am telling you this again, this my highest message, paramam vachah. This is my highest message that I am giving you. And why? Because you are dear to me. I don't want you not to understand and thereby suffer in this world. I do not want you to suffer, and therefore I am telling this to you again. You may get bored that why I, you told me, Lord, once, is it not enough? Well, had it been enough, it would have been so nice. For some, telling once is enough. It is said that the great sage, like Shuka, he was just told that the Mahavakya, the great sentence from the Vedanta, thou art that, and he immediately saw, yes, I am that. And that was enough for him, just hearing that one sentence, enough once. But then those who are not that smart, then like us, we have to tell it many times again and again. And still we get maybe only a little glimpse of it. So Lord says, I am telling it to you again because you are dear to me, yatteham priyamanaya. And then he is telling that because you are so dear to me, I am telling it to you again. I see that you have not grasped it. You do not want to say that I didn't get it. Many times, I remember in my school days, the teacher would teach and then would ask, have you understood? Then the understanding of the whole thing used to be so hazy that I didn't even dare to say that I didn't understand. Because if he would say, ask, what did you not understand? I will have to say whole thing. So I would keep mum. So because the what was being taught was quite overwhelming, I thought that even to ask a question, I will have to ponder over it a little more. so that I will get to know at least the outline so that I can ask some question. Otherwise, I do not even know what to ask. So, Lord senses that there is not any clear understanding of this tremendous idea. This idea, the words are beautiful, and since we sometimes glibly repeat it, it appears to be simple. Heard it so many times. They go to Vedanta Society lectures and you see Swami speaks it all the time. But it becomes therefore something that we don't pay attention to. But that doesn't mean we have understood it. So Lord says, because you are dear to me, the teachers have no other purpose to tell us. Just because they love, it is their love that gets poured through all these words. They have nothing to gain for themselves. They are, as it is said, apta kama. They have fulfilled their life. There is no want left in their life at all. No desire left. They are perfection manifest. And yet they see that we are not perfect. We are suffering because we do not have that knowledge. So they tell us again and again. A disbelief comes. A disbelief is quite natural for us if the teaching that was given in the Upanishad, the student was told that he asked about what is the reality, what is God, what is all that, and such question. And he was told, you are that. Naturally, a very confusing statement. I am such a little body. How can I be that divine, all-pervading thing? How can I be that? A disbelief. In fact, sometimes outright rejection of that idea comes. I am, born on such and such date. I am 25, 30, 50, whatever years old. And this is my family, this is my house, this is my job, this is my pet dog, and so forth. That is my life. It is, how do you say that I am all-pervading reality? It is, our George will say that's all baloney, appears to be all baloney. It is, because of devotion one may not say that it's all baloney, but will say wonder, difficult to grasp. So, it is told in different ways, in different words, again and again, so that one can understand. So, in that particular example that was told there in the Upanishads, Chandogya Upanishad, where this idea comes, thou art that, the disciple naturally was not ready to accept it and said, well, I don't get it. The teacher told him, look, you are not seeing your core reality. So, as an experiment, he told him that, you see that big, huge tree of fig. There was a big fig tree. And to get the fig tree is huge, huge tree. So it is, get a fruit of that tree. The fruit is a fig small. He said, well, that there is a hard cover on that. It is, and so break it. What do you see inside? I see smaller seeds there. Then he said, break that also. What more do you see? He said, I see very small, tiny particles. He said, look, that tiny particle. In that tiny particle which you even find difficult to see, in that was contained this huge tree. So similarly, it's a Shraddhasva. Believe, accept this idea, understand this idea that inside you is this whole universe just waiting to manifest. It is know that the whole universe is contained in you. Know this for sure. So repetition, then again he goes, no, I don't seem to get it right. And the teacher again, okay, let me tell you again this in a different way. Doesn't rebuff the student. Hey, you fool, you don't understand anything, get away, never come to me again. I accept only brilliant students. That is not the university there, that only A plus should apply. No, it is anybody who is sincerely seeking is given education in this Lord's university. So no rejection. Everybody is accepted. Let me tell you again. So Lord, there the sage tells it again and again 9 times. So here also Lord says that I can see that this truth is rather too much for you to accept. But let me therefore tell you in different words again and again. And he said that how the different feelings that you get, they are also the manifestations of Lord. All the good ideas, not sometimes very serene thoughts we get. Like here it was told in the 5th verse, Ahimsa samata tushti tapodanam yasho yashah bhavanti bhava bhutana matta eva prithag vidhaha. That these ideas like non-violence, non-injury, and we get that idea many times. Yeah, that yes, I should be peaceful, I should be loving everyone, I don't like to injure anybody. But it doesn't stay all the time. It is, it comes and goes. All the thoughts, even the so-called bad thoughts, they also don't stay. They rise, they fall. The good thoughts, they also rise, they fall. Where do they go back? Where from do they rise? Lord said that, look, all of that comes from me. Matta eva prithag vidhaha. That they manifest from this me, one as many. Like the sunlight. You let it pass through a prism and you see it into 7 different colors. So, similarly, this Lord manifests as all these different colorful manifestations while remaining one all the time. Not that it becomes many. There is no actual change, actual becoming there. There is nothing happening there. Just it is an appearance that you see the Lord appearing as all this. The time, space and causation is that prism through which the one Lord appears as this manifold universe without actually any change. So this truth gradually flashes in our awareness through pondering, meditation, thinking, doing our actions by holding on to Lord. So he says that even in the olden days, it is told that this has a reference to the old Vedic stories. So I will come to that. Maharshayah saptapurve chatvaro manavastatha madbhava manasa jata yesham loka ima prajaha. Like the stories of Adam and Eve, from whom then gradually, you know, that the one Lord, in the biblical Genesis, that Genesis story, that he separated light and darkness and good and bad and all that. And then Adam and Eve and the different these things are made, and how through that then the whole creation like that spread. So similar stories are there that the creation of the seven sages, Maharshaya Sapta, and they are shown sometimes in the constellation, those seven stars, and they are considered the seven sages. And these seven sages have been given names also. They are manifestations, Lord says, they from my mind they have come. The four manos, that is again another story, I don't want to get into it. It is, that is all also the different ways in which, or the cycles in which the creation proceeds. All these are my manifestations, Lord says, that from my mind they have come up. Why this mind? Because to make us understand that an analogy is given, how the creation here comes up when you want to create something. Suppose somebody wants to do some cooking, that yes, then first, you know, like Gita wants to cook something. So this first, what comes the thought? Let me cook dhokra or something, you know. So the dhokra first gets in the mind. Then from the mind, then the ingredients are procured from that for that. Then the process continues. But where it gets first made, it first gets made into the mind. So this universe also first got made in the mind. And in mind, you have, you know, all those ingredients ready, the important things to remember, how to do it. The process also gets revolved in the mind. Oh yes, first I will have to do this, then that and that. So this whole universe also was made first in the mind of Lord. So he says, all this came through the mind of Lord.
Etam vibhutim yogam cha mama yo veti tatvatah sovikampena yogena yujyate natra samshayah. He who knows in truth this glory and power of mine attains unflinching yoga. There is no doubt about this. He, of course, no gender specification there, he, she, whosoever, knows this truth, that it is all the manifestation of God. And God alone is real. These are the changing manifestations of Lord. Like in the movie theater, you see, in the movie, you know that all these pictures, they come and go. And the screen alone is there. So similarly, this movie comes, goes, you know. It is moving continuously, passing continuously. And that is why it is fun to see it, is it not? Otherwise, if it is just only one single steady picture, you won't sit there for 2 hours. You will say, what's happening? Nothing is happening there. So, therefore, they make action movie, that which moves very fast, so that people are glued there for a long time, and when they get the movie is over, they feel very dizzy in their heads. So it is, this is, so the, this movie is going on. When there is not much action, we don't like it. So generate lot of action, move about. And afterwards feel dizzy and go to sleep. So it is, what is real here? That the screen behind, the Lord, that never changes. It never participates in the movie. Just see that. The movie cannot be seen without the screen. But does it participate? Does it get affected?
It does not get affected at all. It doesn't do anything. Without doing anything, that screen is doing everything. Similarly, just as an analogy, friends, similarly, Lord, without doing anything, is manifesting through all these different actions. And to know this is yoga. Avikampena yogena, what a beautiful word. Then when you know this, your yoga idea doesn't get disturbed. This yoga means feeling this oneness with Lord. That is yoga. Lord, who is our very self, to feel oneness with that. The word yoga means to join. And joining with what? Joining with God or with your true nature. That is yoga. So you join with it and you feel your true nature as the Lord. Thus, that is the yoga. Avikampena means, once you know that, you will not vacillate from that position. What is indicated is that it is not just a passing emotion, but a steadfast experience. The difference between them is that once the poets also get such flights of imagination, or sometimes in deep meditation, or gone to a very nice serene place of pilgrimage, you go to Himalayas and you feel that overwhelming sense of divine spirit. But it doesn't last too long. For 2 minutes you feel, how nice it is. Let me spend my whole life there. After 2 minutes you feel enough. Now I have many things in life to do. So, that doesn't last. Because it is induced. Things which are induced, they don't last. You know, like the magnetism, induced magnetism. You know, something is a magnet, and in some other substances which are not magnets, but you induce magnetism by putting it in an electric coil, then you have that magnetic property there. But as soon as the electric current is gone, that magnetic property there, that also is gone. So it is induced magnetism. Or you keep another magnet near it. So because of its proximity, this piece of iron, it also gets an induced magnetism. So when the circumstances induce something, that lasts only for a little while, not for too long. That it is, I have heard this expression many times here, that sometimes people come here and then they sit with lot of devotion and attention, listen to the discourse, and after the discourse that they feel really that something changing in their life. And they say, Swami, it was such a nice feeling. I am a changed man now. I am a changed man. Not that the person is insincerely saying that, but it is just an induction process. It induced change. It vanishes in a couple of minutes before even crossing the Angel Street. The street in front, that feeling vanishes. So it is not that it should not be done, because this is another principle that you learn in the school. If you keep on inducing it by rubbing the magnet on an iron plate, keep on rubbing it. What happens? Slowly that also acquires permanent magnetic properties. It gets converted into a magnet by the close association for a long time. So, this is the great virtue of the holy company. So, Lord says that when this knowledge dawns that everything is truly the manifestation of the Lord, then that yoga become stable in life. Now it is not an induced thing. Now it is not because of some circumstances that you are caught in. This is your now your true property now. You are now united with God. So that is, Lord says there is absolutely no doubt that this knowledge will bring you to that state. So one must therefore strive for that knowledge. And he again reiterates this, that in the next verse,
Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha.
This is, as he had told earlier, a repetition. This idea had come in Bhagavad Gita earlier too. But he is emphasizing here again, and some very beautiful, psychologically very impacting words have been used here. I am the source of all. Everything is produced out of me. Knowing thus, the wise worship me with devotion. Wise worship me with devotion. This is now connecting mind to that, knowing that everything is produced from God. Everything is connected with God. Everything can be had if you have God with you. So God seen as the source of everything. See, when you know that whatever you want, you can get from this, then you strive to get that. There was a question asked in school, at some middle school or something. The teacher was emphasizing that we should read books and all that. This was before the electronic era. There was no Kindle or such things to read from. So books. So you should read books. And so then he wanted to see what kind of books students would like to read. Just wanted to gauge that what are the aptitudes of different students. What would they go to read? So he put the question, suppose you are going on a long tour. And because of the problems of travel, you are allowed to take only one book with you. Which book will you choose? So, according to their aptitude, somebody said, I am interested in astronomy. I will take a book on astronomy. Somebody said, well, I like the history books. So, I will choose a book of history. Student said, I will take the checkbook. I will take the checkbook. Because he said, if I have checkbook, then I can buy any book that I want with check. All books are contained in a way, in his understanding, all books are contained in the checkbook. So, it is... Friends, that is why people run after money. This we do not explicitly understand. But in fact, Karl Marx has given a very beautiful analysis of this in his essay on money. That why people go to get money, spend all energy to get money. In fact, they forget all their other enjoyments also. And keep aside all that, keep aside their sleep, their leisure, everything they forget to get money. Why? Because psychologically they are perceiving money to contain everything that they need in life. If they have money, everything else can be gotten through money. He has given a very detailed and very touching account that how money can invert the life. You do feel you don't have that, but if you have money, you will have that. If you are not able to, you know, walk properly, you have problem, you can, if you have money, you can buy a car and go anywhere. Your problems get all resolved, provided you have money. So because of this subtle understanding, the understanding is at a deeper, not very superficial level. So that propels people to get money. And we know how pervasive this pursuit of money is. So why do we go for that? Because one feels for sure that if I have money, I will get everything. It takes a long time to understand that it is not true. I many times tell this story, a real incident many years back, but that man's words are so much in my ears. He was telling through his own experience, and therefore those words had that power. He earned a lot of money. He said that, well, I grew up as in a very poor family, and was always feeling that because I don't have money, I can't do all these things. Look at these rich people. And then I had decided to get a lot of money in life. And somehow through the grace of God, he was a very famous eye surgeon. He said, I got a lot of money. And then I realized slowly, earlier I used to think that money can buy everything. But then now I realize money can buy very little. And that little also is trash. So it takes long time, friends. Lot of experiments are required. Human life is a learning process. And this learning gradually dawns on us that it is the saying of Shankara. Shankara says, artham anartham bhavaya nityam, that consider money to be the source of all problems in life. And if you are told, well, do you want problems in life? No! I don't want it. I don't want to hear about problems. I want to get rid of problems. Then Shankara, a great authority, a wise man, he says, artham anartham. This artha means money, is the root cause of all problems. So we don't want problems, but run for the root cause of all problems. It is like that, that it is, we know that we want to be healthy, but then acquire all habits with great gusto that will make us unhealthy, you know. So it is like that, that if we realize God truly, everything will be very, very peaceful and blissful in our life. Just that one thing. By realizing God, we will get everything. So, he says, Bhajante Mam, Buddha Bhava Samanvita. Wise people, they understand this. Wise is the one who sees the result before it happens. That is the sign of wisdom. After it happens, everybody sees that it doesn't require much wisdom, you know, that it is that if you put your hand in the flame, it burns, that after burning everybody will know, but it is before that happening, when you know it, you don't put your finger in the flame. That is required, that is called wisdom, that prevents you into getting into problems, well, because you see the result before they come to you. This person sees the results before they actually come. When the cause is there, you see, they see that, well, what is inside it? What do I going to get if I get this? And so, seeing the results, then they decide it is worth it or not worth it. It is. What a great thing, friend. That is the sign of wisdom. To see the cause and get the effects. Means have the knowledge of effects right there. And thus you can avoid those things. When the effects are already there, now you are stuck with them. You have to deal with them. It is not possible to get rid of it. But the wise therefore see that God being everything, let me pay attention in realizing God. They see this, that how by realizing God I will get everything. One has to have wisdom. Sri Ramakrishna used to tell the story of how one man was blessed with a divine visitation, and that angel asked, "What do you want? Ask for a boon." And this man, but only one boon. You cannot ask two boons. Ask for only one boon. So he thought for a second and said, "O Lord, make this arrangement that I will be able to eat with my grandchild in a golden plate." So in the gold plate means richness, already money has been asked there. Long life has been asked, will be eating with the grandchild, means long life has been asked. And so many things, you know, have been asked by this one boon. So he could wisely ask. If you hastily simply get excited and ask for something, it may not be what you are looking for. So one should wait and direct our efforts in the right manner to get what we want. So, and therefore, he says that the people therefore direct their activities in such a way that this God awareness will come in their life. The source of their joy, the devotees, therefore place the source of their joy in divine or holy company. And that is the next verse, the ninth verse says, Machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayantaschamam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. With their mind and senses directed to me, explaining me to each other and talking of me, they are always pleased and happy. And instead of talking with each other about other things, that what's happening in stock market, or what is the political situation, who will be the Republican candidate for next elections, and all that, instead of talking about all those things, when devotees meet with each other, they talk about God. Those who are tobacco smokers, when they meet, they talk the virtues or vices, whatever, about the different brands of tobacco. It is because they are addicted to tobacco. That is why they have come together there. So, that is how the talk goes on. Those who are, say, interested in baseball, they always will be talking what are the chances of Red Sox this season and so forth. They are always that topic, you know, because that is how their interest in life is. So, they don't think that, well, they have spoken these things 1,000 times. Or always they have talked about these things. They are not ashamed of repetition. They keep on repeating these things again and again without being tired of it at all. So, similarly, the devotees, they keep on discussing, talking, exchanging ideas only about God, because they are devotees. their love is God. Whatever you love, you talk about it. You see this all the time, musicians will be talking about music. The gamblers will be talking about gambling. It is whatever you are interested in, you know, you start talking about it automatically. And so the devotees, they will be talking about God. What happens with that? That becomes intensified in their life. Because of that, that acquires that intensity. So this is a suggestion. That if you are a devotee, you will do it. But if you want to become a devotee now, use this cause so that you will become a devotee. Don't talk of other things. Talk about God. Be in the company of devotees so that you will not be required to talk of all other things. It is as much as possible try to be in the holy company. We know all the how the company affects us. There was a very illustrative incident in sometimes back when I used to be in Nagpur. The police chief of that city, he used to come there and sit there for some time and talk of various things. And he said, "Oh, these books are very nice. Do I have to pay if I take?" So, what do you mean? You know, I can just pick up it. The police and the thieves, they are of the same lot, you know. They are similar, you know, not very different. He was this. So I, being a police chief, I am very much, you know, and he said that, you know, Swami, I was joking, of course, but there is the truth to it. That in whose company do we live all the time? We do not live in the company of sages. It is, we are exposed for most of our times to all those things. He said, therefore, I said that the company is very important. That it is, therefore, when I come here, I want to just sit quiet and talk to you people. I will not be able to talk with all the godly things. But then I feel happy that I am in company of you people, and I feel satisfied with that. I like to read some books from here. A very nice man, a very efficient police officer, but what it brings to us is the idea of holy company. So when we choose the company, according to the company, our thoughts get molded. It is, therefore, I many times suggest to people that come here more. Come for lunch. If you don't like to hear the talk, come for meditation. Yeah, because many are not given to hear, you know, an hour long boring discourse. You know, that doesn't matter. But still, that doesn't mean that you have no other avenue. You can come and have a cup of tea. You can come and do meditation. You can come here and join in some devotional singing. The idea is to whatever avenue is more suitable to you, from that avenue try to connect to the divine atmosphere. Imbibe, absorb it through that. So that is the great thought that God gives, and you will take gradually joy in that. It is like many things that the smokers, they keep on talking about smoking 1,000 times. Doesn't matter, you know, they like to talk about that. So they take joy in that. Those who are devotees, they take joy in talking about God. And what do they get? That is a very beautiful. This verse really appealed to me so much, this 10th and 11th verse. After which we get Arjuna asking a question, and really the 10th chapter begins in its essence after that. But here in these two verses, that how God, when people start connecting with God like this, how the gift of God comes to them, what God gives them, in what way, how the grace of God descends on them, in what form. These two verses, 10th and 11th, very important, that God showers grace on them, but what? In the form of the knowledge that God alone is real. In that form, the grace of God descends on them. So we will just read the verses and then discuss them next Friday. Tesham satatayuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te tesham evanukam partham aham ajnanajam tamah nashayamyatma bhavastho jnana deepena bhasvata. To these who are thus ever devoted to me and worship me with love, I give that yoga of understanding by which they come unto me. Just to bless them, I, residing in their intellect, destroy the darkness of born of ignorance by the resplendent light of knowledge. So, we shall go into the depth of these verses a little more next Friday, if Lord permits. Any questions? Okay, so since there is no question, we will conclude with the closing prayers. Gita sugita kartavya kimanyat shastra vistarai ya svayam padmanabhasya mukhapadmadvinasrita ekam shastram devaki putra gitam eko devo devaki putra eva eko mantra tasya namani yane karmapyekam tasya devasya seva shri krishna arpanamastu.